Welcome to this programme in our series of podcasts reflecting highlights from recent discussions in NCSL in Dialogue. Talk to Learn's online community for national education debate, accessed by more than 16,000 school leaders every month.
Nearly a quarter of head teachers are aged over 55 and are expected to retire in the next few years. So what contribution can co-headship arrangements make to forestalling the predicted leadership shortage? Nicola Allen, herself a primary co-head for the last 6 years, has examined the challenges in a research associates programme with NCSL. In a recent Talk to Learn discussion and online seminar, she asked for thoughts on whether co-headship could aid recruitment and retention of headteachers and be a sustainable model of school leadership. Helen Maxwell, a deputy in a special school in the Northwest, saw positive and negative sides to co-headship.
Well, this is the best of both worlds for a new head to learn the trade and for an existing head to head off to retirement. But how can someone who's been in the position suddenly begin to share with someone else?
Nicola said that while co-heads often selected each other, they were sometimes chosen to work together for the first time.
If the interview process is rigorous, then it should be possible to select two people with similar ethos and values. I think that much rests on the desire of both partners to make it work.
Alan Scarlett, a co-head in the East Riding of Yorkshire, described how co-headship was opening up capacity in his school and in the wider system.
The deputy will be co-head for the 2 days that I'm not in school. I am learning through being a facilitator and able to bring back an extra dimension to our school by using protocols in staff meetings and SIP planning days. It has re-energised the deputy and he is now considering the possibility of going on to headship.
One headteacher was keen to hear how to overcome governor and local authority resistance to the co-headship concept.
Well, I've tried to initiate co-headship, but I've met considerable reluctance. It all came to nothing with the governors actually citing LA advice that there may be managerial difficulties in the future. I think that my deputy and I've worked to an outstanding level over the past 6 years, with leadership and management identified as outstanding in the school's first inspection in 2007. So, how can we progress morally, ethically and professionally to shared headship?
Nicola said the experience demonstrated the importance of securing support for co-headship from governors and the local authority.
A good, honest debate can clear up misconceptions and change opinions. I know of governors in schools where co-headship has worked who have offered their advice to governors who are concerned about what it means for their school.
Phil Butterworth, a co-head in Gloucester, had managed to overcome similar reservations.
Initially, our local authority was very sceptical, and its message to governors was, "On your heads be it." There has been a complete about turn, and they are now fully behind the idea, and it's positively promoted. I felt our governors were very brave at the time, but their faith has been repaid with continued school success, both with the popularity of our school and an outstanding Ofsted that focused on co-headship as an issue.
Talk to Learn has over 120,000 members. If you'd like to join, visit www.ncsl.org.uk/online communities.